When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Ha! Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my shirt. My plantation shoe, my plantation shoe, my plantation shoe. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the Manchester United edition. This is post the heinous, I don't even know what to call that game. It was a hilarious comedy of nonsensical nonsense. And I had to bring my homie with me, Dean. He's with me in live, direct. How you doing this morning, man?
I am very, very well. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm alive. I think the last couple of years in football, not to like sound like I'm going through a therapy session, this is not the episode of Sopranos. I am not talking to Dr. Melfi right now, but I will say, like, I've learned to calm down emotion-wise, you know, post-United games. I think that being a fan of this club since I was 5 years old has made me realize that there's been a lot of great highs, and these last 11 years have been a lot of very low lows. When you think it could get very low, it gets even worse. And I think the funny thing about that game yesterday is that I knew it was gonna, they were gonna just do something stupid. And I'm at this point where I'm just like, where as a fan base trying to find every single person, every single thing to blame, whether it's a player, whether it's a kit man, whether it's a blade of grass, it is, yeah.
I'm an Arsenal fan, as anyone that listens to our lovely network of pods should know by now. And I wouldn't say you guys are as down bad as we were during the Emery era, but this is as bad as I can remember it being, because obviously it's, you know, Manchester United and Arsenal to fans of a certain generation were like the Batman and Joker, you know, like we're forever entwined and we hate each other in a very loving way forever.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, essentially. Well, Jerry always wins there, so I don't know who's going to claim Jerry, so fuck all that. But yeah, you guys are pretty down bad. Yesterday, it's interesting. I feel bad, you know, because Coach had to carry the pod while you were on your hiatus. And I remember thinking to myself, like, every week, this nigga just going to be saying the same shit over and over again. Like, it's a team with a lack of compactness. It's a team that wants to press but doesn't want to play a high line to back the press because the defenders can't run. It's a team that's thoroughly injured, probably because everyone is covering too much space, running around. And we saw every one of those complaints, every one of those observations yesterday in the game against Chelsea. The issue I have is I don't understand how you can be in a situation like this where nothing is working for anyone at the club, really, and you're choosing to scapegoat certain people, specifically Marcus Rashford. What is the deal, man? Why do Manchester United fans hate this man?
I'm going to get real, real, real weird. there's a game where Liverpool played against Tottenham where it's 1-1, like the 87th minute, and you can see Salah as the main striker, right? Salah was instructed, obviously, by Jurgen Klopp not to chase around the Liverpool players, right? That was his instructions. And you go to yesterday, there's a clip that's going viral about Marcus Rashford going around chasing and pressing because he was doing the same thing Salah was doing. I'm like, it's an instruction for the manager because that's just the tactical things. If you look in like the 97th minute, Marcus Rashford was chasing down on the right back. Like he literally was further back than Aaron Wan-Bissaka. He was literally chasing back. So to say Rashford doesn't put an effort in that same game that you're going this viral clip, you didn't post that clip of Rashford going back in the 97th minute. I think that Rashford is such an easy scapegoat because he's the one that makes a lot of money in the club. He's a main goal scorer. And when you look at this team, it's Manchester United. There's always a story about the club. Before the game even started yesterday, Rio and Gary Neville were talking about he's not right mentally, and Rashford's brother talked about it publicly. Rashford is such an easy scapegoat. Like, you know, Scott McTominay is another one, but again, like, whatever. That's another topic for another day. I think Rashford is such an easy topic because people see these other players that they don't really watch all the time. For example, I remember they were talking about Rafael Leão. I'm like, if you actually watch Serie A, Leão hasn't played that hot this season. He's obviously played a lot better, but it's like you don't watch these plays on a week-to-week basis to know that, like, it's hard, bro. It's hard to be chasing around, man, for 10 months. It's hard to be running around trying to keep a club like this on your back. Rashford is a United fan like the rest of us, and he's tired and pissed off that seeing his club this way, you know? The kid could have left a long time ago, but he generally has a sickness that he loves the club. So I don't know, man. It's very weird. But I say that to say this. I thought about something that happened yesterday, and it made me realize that forget the tactics, forget the Glazers, forget everything else. The standards of the club, actually, it is the Glazers' fault. The standards of the club are in the toilet. I remember when Roy Keane was at United, and he was the captain, obviously, the big bad bully, and everything went through Roy Keane. And when Cristiano used to do his dribbles and shit, and like they used to kick him, Keno, Neville, Rio, West Brom, everybody would go and fight somebody, right? Like they would not, and the same thing at Arsenal. Like you kick Cesc, Vieira is going to come whoop your ass. Wiltor is going to come whoop your ass. Henry's going to come, you know what I mean? Pierre is going to, Lundberg and all those guys are going to come whoop your ass. There was a thing that Conor Gallagher did yesterday to Kobbie Mainoo, and I knew yet the standards of this club were in the toilet. Kobbie got pushed. This is your 18-year-old academy kid who's your wonder kid who's been a revelation this season. He got pushed. Not a single Manchester United player came up to defend him. Not a single one. And for me, that was just like, okay. There's something clearly like a miss here because I'm sorry. I'm seeing Kobbie getting pushed. I'm punching Conor Gallagher in the face. I'm getting right in his face. Don't push the kid. Leave the kid alone.
I mean, on one hand, yes, you're correct. The standards have definitely fallen. I mean, that's very obvious from the results. That's very obvious from the performances. But it's hard for me to pick on any particular Manchester United character. Even like the coach is annoying because he's bald and he seemingly lacks self-awareness. I don't like the way he does these interviews after the game and brings up like old shit, like the Arsenal game in September, or says that we deserve to win the game. You know, like I hate when he does that shit, but you guys are used to it by now, I imagine, because he's been doing it since he got there. But short of that, I just feel as if it's a situation where you just need to clean house. You know, like this reminds me of, again, the Emery era at Arsenal when, remember the Xhaka thing where he cursed the fans out and shit and they were booing him and he lost the captaincy and all that. Like, this feels like a more spread out version of that where there are a few more targets for the fans to be upset at. But in actuality, it's really, everything rots from the head. You know, it's from the Glazers down to, you know, the new owners, Ineos, who I'm not going to blame for much yet because there's really not much they can change while the season is going on. Or it doesn't make sense to me for them to change things while the season is going on. But ultimately, picking on individuals doesn't really make sense. I mean, like, I look at those players and it's not like they care. I think they care about the club, they care about the badge, but a lot of them are, one, just not good enough, basically. And for the ones that are good enough, we're at the point of the season where you have to be realistic. Like, these guys have looked at the table like we're looking at the table. Odds are United are not making Champions League. And United is supposed to be a Champions League club. So if you know United isn't making Champions League, I'm sorry. Like, that press is going to drop another 2%. And you see it on the field. You know, I'm not about to get in a fight for an 18-year-old Kobbie Mainoo, you know, when we're not fighting for shit. I'm sorry. Like, I don't got time for that shit, man. Like, the frustrating part was that Chelsea gave y'all that game yesterday.
100%.
And that was a game that Manchester United absolutely should have won. And I'll give Eric credit for that. Y'all should have won that. You can't be leading away from home 3-2, no matter how you got there, whether the goals you got were flukes or not, whether they were good goals or not. You can't be winning 3-2 and not close the game out with 2 minutes left in the game. But I'm sure we'll get to that later. I was going to ask you.
I'm listening.
I know there's little positive to take from this game because it had to be a gut punch for you guys. I was over there rolling. I was laughing at you motherfuckers, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy because I think I hate Chelsea more than I hate United. No, I don't think. I know. But I thought there were some positives yesterday.
Yeah.
And the one I want to point out before you cut me is Anthony. I thought, yes, he gave a penalty away. Yes, he did the usual I only have one foot shit, but besides the end product, I thought he was just really energetic and effervescent yesterday. What'd you make of him?
That was the best game he's ever played for Man United. Obviously, the bar is in hell. The bar is below hell. It's very low. But that was the best game he played. I mean, his assist that he gave to Garnacho, who, by the way, was another very good player. He's been trying that for the last however long he's been at Man United, finally came off. I think that he only played well because he was playing against Cucurella. That's the only player that he seems to play well against. He loves to eat. He did it in the Olympics. He's done it every time played against them. I don't know what it is. I think it might be the hair. He might like that hair. So yeah. Yeah. I think he likes the way his hair bounces. Hey, yo. But yeah, he likes, I don't know. Yesterday was good. So Anthony was a positive. Garnacho was a big positive. The kid is, he has a very annoying face. I see why people don't like Garnacho, but The kid was solid yesterday. And to a lesser degree, Mason Mount actually was pretty solid. I think that in his little brief cameos, you can see that he's tidy on the ball. He's not scared to shy away from a challenge. I think that, you know, if this manager had a little bit of cojones about him, I'd drop Bruno and start Mason Mount in that position. But hey, it's neither here nor there.
I think Manchester United fans underestimate the difficulty of dropping someone like Bruno. I'm not Fair saying enough. He's the best player in the world. I obviously prefer the playmakers I have at my club over him because of the, you know, sort of the reckless nature of his play. But I think when people are talking about dropping players, they often just focus on the on-field aspect of it. Can you imagine how nasty it would be in the Manchester United dressing room if any manager drops Bruno at this stage with this squad? Like, he's one of the most influential. He's very clearly one of the most influential. He's a club captain. You don't just drop the club captain. I'm sorry. Like, there aren't a lot of managers with balls that big. You know, like, he would have to do something like curse the fans out like Xhaka did under Emery to get dropped.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult place for the club to be in. I think you just got to basically take this season as a write-off. Yeah. There are no immediate solutions. You know, I know fans still got to watch the games and think of what's going to happen in the game to stay interested, to stay passionate about it. But ultimately, you just kind of got to play it out and, you know, be looking forward to the summer. Be looking forward to the summer because there's just, I think the season's essentially over. You don't want to get embarrassed this weekend against Liverpool, but I don't see any specific solutions. Mason Mount, I felt like his cameo was probably a little too short and too emotionally fraught, you know, given his return to Chelsea and all that. And his return from injury for me to really make an assessment about him. But he's a guy we've seen for many years at Chelsea and for England when he was good enough and consistent enough and healthy enough to play. He's a player that managers tend to like. And I think once he's healthy, once he gets his next season, he will definitely play a lot, you know, if he stays healthy for sure. He's a good player.
I'm gonna rattle off some stats, so bear with me, and I want your reaction to a lot of these stats because I had to say these stats because I was reading them yesterday. I was like, I cannot believe this. Manchester United have now lost 12 Premier League games this season, as many as in 2013-14 under Moyes and Giggs in 2021 under Solskjaer and Ranieri. That's the first one. The most Premier League shots faced in 2024 is Manchester United with 225. There's more. Don't worry. Manchester United have faced more shots than any other side in Europe's big five leagues in 2024. This is the fifth 4-3 in which Man United have been involved in this season. They have lost three of them. Conceded 2 in 4 minutes versus Bayern. 2 in a minute and 2 in 4 minutes versus Copenhagen. 2 and 5 minutes versus Wolves, 2 and 2 minutes versus Liverpool, and 2 and 2 minutes by Chelsea. Manchester United have lost 17 games in a single season for the first time since 1989, 1990. That was the year I was born.
God damn.
Manchester United led in the 97th minute on Saturday and 97th minute on Thursday, both against teams in the bottom half. They got 1 point from it. Man United have conceded 109 shots in the last four games, conceding 27 shots versus City, 23 shots versus Everton, 31 shots versus Brentford, and 28 shots versus Chelsea. Manchester United were leading in this game at 99 minutes and 17 seconds, the latest a side has ever gotten the lead in a Premier League match, and they've gone on to lose. And I think that's kind of where I stop, because if I keep ranting on, this could be a whole podcast about how bad United stats are. But what do you think about those stats I just told you?
I mean, they're pretty... When you think about the tactical issues at the club that have been present pretty much all season.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair to Ten Hag, weren't present for huge chunks of last season. Because there were moments last season. I mean, you guys won a cup last season. So there were moments when it looked like this is the guy. And this season, between the injuries and just... It's just been a bad atmosphere, you know. Like I think the main factor has to be the injuries. I mean, you can't have a player as good on the ball as Lisandro Martinez. I don't care if he's a midget or not. Excuse my French people. But if you have a player that good that's not available to be part of your buildup, that affects the way you play as a team. You know, like the fact that he's missing means that you have to overplay players that are not as good as him that are replacing him in the lineup, and so on and so forth. You know, like I hear those stats and they all make sense. They're all historic stats and they're all very annoying to hear if you're a Manchester United fan. And kind of hilarious for an Arsenal fan to hear, because we're on the other side of a lot of the stats this season, which is actually kind of annoying, because I know this is a United pod, but when we're leading all these statistics by as much as we're leading them, we should be leading the table by like 9 points. But Manchester City and Liverpool are dickheads and won't go away. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it's just, you know, the stats are a reflection of the environment. And I think I know we're going to talk more long term, but there's no sensible world in which they keep the manager or a bunch of these players. You're going to have to do, if you guys want to progress to where your competition are, you know, that being teams like Manchester City, Liverpool, Arsenal. If you want to get there, you're going to have to go through a lot of the pain some of those clubs went through. You're going to have to get rid of, you're going to pay people off. You know, like Bruno is probably staying because he's a frustrating player, but he's still a good player. Yeah. You know, but short of him, like, I think guys like, you know, I say this respectfully, guys like Diego Dalo, guys like Scott McTominay, you know, guys like Rafa Varane, Harry Maguire, like these people need to go, man. They're not Manchester United standard in my eyes. I mean, like, I know people are talented. I know people are of certain profiles and the club needs. These guys are not it. They're just not. Like, they're doing their best, and their best isn't good enough.
I mean,
because I don't get the impression that they hate Eric or anything like that.
No, these guys generally are trying, and they're trying so hard because they're just not good. If you look at the year that we brought in Casemiro, it was the 2022 season. And I, again, like because of the privilege I had of getting able to watch a lot of matches, you know, for my gig, I had to watch a lot of Casemiro, a lot of Varane. I remember I knew Varane was cooked when Real Madrid won the Champions League and they played against Shakhtar, and there was a Shakhtar player that pressed Varane, and I was like, wow, Varane has completely lost it. And this is before he joined United, and I was like, he's completely cooked. And the same thing with Casemiro. I forgot what game I was watching. There's like certain games you can tell when players are just finished at the top level, right? And it's no slight to them, because Casemiro and Varane have had careers that most people would be jealous of, right? Supreme careers. But there was a play in the first half yesterday where Casemiro literally tried to run. And his body was like, I know greed. I can't do that. And you know, and you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know.
He couldn't run.
And I don't know, man. I mean, you ever seen a nigga like Nicholas Jackson run by you before? Like, I'm not chasing that nigga either, man. Like, fuck all that.
No, he's well, quick. I know what you mean. Like, Nico Jackson is a very, very quick player. But what I'm saying is that Casemiro's body Lily looked like, bro, I'm not doing this. It's like I want to, but I physically cannot do this no more. And the reason I brought that up, because again, when I look at the signings Man United have made, especially in that defensive midfield, like £70 million on Casemiro. I mean, it was £60 million plus 10 in whatever. it goes to show you that there is no clear, cohesive plan at that club. Like, you sell Casemiro, Real Madrid's like, thanks. We don't use that when we get Tchouaméni, you know?
I mean, rival fans mentioned it at the time, you know, but banter is banter. Like, I remember when you guys got Varane, and there was that meme going around with Varane, 50, however million, and Arsenal paid 50 million for Ben White, and people told us that we messed up. It's like, people, it's very, some of these things are simple. You don't pay athletes for what they've done. You pay them for what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And what United has been doing is paying people for what they've done. They're paying for names so they can sell noodles and shit. You know, the Woodward strategy. And now that he's gone and you have hopefully smarter people in place, you know, like this Omar Berada nigga and Dave Brailsford and Jason Wilcox and all these very, very respected names in the industry coming into your club, hopefully things will change. But for this Chelsea game, there are certain, I suppose there are certain details we need to get on. Like, do you think your manager over relies on certain players, or do you think this is a function of the injuries? Or is he causing the injuries by over-relying on certain people?
I think the answer to that is yes. for example, like, you knew that Varane was kind of shaky. You knew Johnny Evans was a bit shaky. No offense to the kid, like, he's 18. Start Willy Kamwala. He's a kid. Because what that does is you don't have to waste subs. You brought Johnny Evans on. That's a waste of a sub because he had to get subbed off after, like, 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes. It's a waste of sub. You are over-relying on, you know, you brought in Sofyan Amrabat. And not to say he's good or anything, but where has he gone? You know, you don't even use him anymore. That was a complete waste of a transfer. You have started Garnacho in 30-plus games. The kid is good, but 30-plus games at 18 is insane.
That's crazy. That's some Barcelona behavior, man. That's how you end up with Ansu Fatis and Pedris and shit, man. He's a teenager.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's a baby. And he has these certain favorites that he likes, and it's just, he's part of the thing. And I'm sure, like, you know, from what I've read from other United fans is that, like, they're overplaying, like, in training. Like, and it's just cause for concern. So I do think that. And he rushes players back. Like, Lissandro didn't have to play against Brentford. Again, Willy Kwambala was right there. So, I don't know. Like, I just generally don't know. So he is just, he's on some weird shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really follow his career that closely at Ajax. You know, obviously we watched that Champions League run and we just paid attention to the surface. Everything looked good. A lot of those players have gone on to bigger and, in theory, better things. Mm-hmm. But now that I think about it, no one has really kicked on like that. Like, when you look at the players from that squad and the manager, they've all gone to all these other places. So it feels like it was just like a moment of magic that got ripped apart by the powers that be in Europe. And no one really took that magic with them.
I mean, let's take a look. Like, the highlight players were Frankie de Jong, De Ligt, who's getting benched by Eric Dier. You're getting Frankie's, you know, basically getting not that many, you know, Frankie's, his situation is weird. Who else was at the Ajax team? Like, you know, like, we're thinking about the Ajax team in 2019.
Yeah, Van de Beek, Donny, you guys got him. His career has gone nowhere.
I mean, he's barely getting games in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, Ziyech,
he's in Turkey.
Yeah, it's not been a good denominator.
David, on that team. David Neres, where's David Neres right now?
He's
David
at Benfica Neres now. He's at Benfica.
Okay,
he's doing all right, but it's Benfica. Benfica is in Ajax.
Tadic is 35 years old.
Yeah.
Sean, he's 37. Tagliafico, he's 31. He's at Lyon. Not really kicking up trees too much up there. Mazraoui is getting hurt every other game. Onana is at Man United, so
he's doing well.
Yeah,
he's doing well. I think that's one of the things that's been understated in recent weeks. I think Onana, I'm not saying he's the best goalkeeper in the Premier League or anything like that, but he had a very rough start to the season. We all cracked jokes. We all made memes. He went to AFCON. He got benched at AFCON. I think he's been good since then. I think he's been good.
He settled down. But yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of elephants in the room. There's a lot of players that, like, definitely need to get shipped off, like you said. And it's not even a postmortem. I think that in a weird way, when I was looking at Sir David Brailsford and Jim Ratcliffe next to each other yesterday with Peter Schmeichel, you kind of tell, like, they're not happy. And it, in a weird way, it kind of was symbolic because it's like, I've never seen the Glazers at any United away games. I barely seen him at any United games. So to see him, you know, there, it was kind of refreshing. It's kind of like, okay, they're actually taking their time. So
there's hope. Yeah. There's hope. You know, like it's always nice to have a involved owner. You know, like I remember for many years, because Arsenal was being run by or was owned by two different sets of billionaires. You know, we had the Kroenkes and we had the Russian dude, Usmanov, who ended up at Everton years later after he got kicked out of Arsenal. But because two people were splitting the ownership of the club, neither one of them was willing to invest. Because it's like, why would I pay money for something you're going to benefit from when you're not paying money? And neither one of them was at games. It was just everything was Wenger this, Wenger that, Wenger this. Then eventually they got rid of the Russian dude. The Kroenkes took over. We started seeing Josh Kroenke at games. We started seeing Stan Kroenke show up every so often. And things have gotten better since then. So more involved owners. I mean, I think, yes, in the moment, you know, like going away to Stamford Bridge and suffering a loss like this has to be brutal to tolerate as a United fan. But in the grand scheme of things, I feel as if, at least if I'm a United fan, optimism is the key word for me. Because you finally, like you said, you finally have owners and administrators that care enough to go to away games. That's the fucking bare minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bare minimum. So the fact that you have that starting now in 2024, it's something to be excited about, you know. So I would argue that for you as someone that hosts, as a Manchester United pod host, your job is to try to keep some optimism in the fan base, because it's been a rough season for you guys. I gotta say.
We're about to bring on another Man United fan to get his perspective on the United game. We have Tommy with us.
Hello, hello.
What's good, my guy? How are you?
Oh man, I could be better, but hey, we move. What about you?
Doing well, man. We were just doing a post-mortem of the Chelsea game, and we wanted to know how you felt. We obviously ratted off the stats. We've talked about you know, the Glazers being bad. We covered a lot of shit, but we want to know from your perspective. You know, obviously you saw the game and we know how you feel about Marcus Rashford. Like, how do you feel like everything went down yesterday?
The game, I feel like the game was just a big microcosm of the whole season. Like, there's nothing. The first goal was a cutback goal, and we've conceded how many of those this year? Like, I think I remember at least 12. So that in itself was crazy. And then, of course, you get two injuries. Varane's injured. Johnny Evans comes in. He gets injured. So, and I feel like after a while, it can't just be an unlucky injury issue. There's something we're doing in training, or there's something the players aren't doing, or the manager. I'm more inclined to blame the manager, because we've seen it's been a bunch of muscle injuries. And then after that, we somehow take the lead through a bit of individual brilliance. And actually, no, I'll be fair to ETH. It was good attacking play for the second goal. I just didn't expect it to come from Anthony. So we'll take that. Then the game's going on. We need to control the game. He brings off Casemiro for McTominay. I can't even say too much about McTominay this game because he wasn't like as tragic as he normally is. But that's still not a good sign. You know, the game's in the balance. It is 3-2 in like the – I think McTominay came in like the 70, 80th minute. Or so either way, you know you need to control the game. You have Mason Mount, who can play that deeper role. But more importantly, you have Amrabat was on the bench, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Who knows, man? I don't even know what Amrabat is nowadays. You got to put a like missing persons out report for him.
Him and Malacia have been dodging Quincy Promise or something. I don't know. But literally, so you know the game's in balance. The guy that you were chasing all summer for this purpose, that you leave him off? I don't get it. It's like that. It was just a big bat signal in the sky showing people, like, look, this is what our season is. And then two goals in the 90-something minute? Man, no, I'm not. Like, that game made me fully, like, I'm my hands off. This manager got to go. It's not enough.
I think, you know, like Tommy said, it's a microcosm of the season. And I would say the big takeaway from an outside observer is that, and I think it probably comes from the manager, this team is very mentally fragile. You can't be leading away from home 3-2 at any team, really, and be Manchester United of all clubs and not see the victory out. It's just unacceptable. It's one thing to maybe concede a fluke 3-3, you know, like, oh, Dallo made a mistake. He breathed on the guy. He fell over, a penalty. Okay. That sucks, but we'll take a point and go. But to lose the game, like, these guys are fragile because, like you mentioned with the stats earlier, so many instances this season where you concede two goals back-to-back. Like, that means you're conceding a goal, people are putting their heads down, losing focus further, and conceding a second goal, which makes, whether it's a comeback or whether it's a victory, it makes it all very difficult.
To add to that point, right, the biggest example of that is, and I know United fans want to blame Rashford, whatever, I don't care, you guys are wrong. When Dalot gave up that penalty, right, what this man immediately tried to do was try to take the whole entire team on. He had Mason Mount on the left wing. He could have slipped Mason Mount on that left wing. What Dalot decided to do was cut inside, and then he lost the ball. And that's when Chelsea hit United in the transition. That's how they got the corner kick. That right there shows me that a lot of these players, there's not a lot going on up here because sometimes they just lose it. I'm like, yo, what is going on? Like, Farah Balay, calm down. It's like there needs to generally be in a sense of calm. And I'm not sure who they bring in the summertime. Like, I'm insane. I'm the sort of person that would be like, you know what? Fuck it. Give it to Thiago Motta. Give it to Kieran McKenna. Give it to Michael. I'm insane. So don't ever take my opinion for what you want for United to be a manager. Because if it was up to me, I'd go and get Abacha to be the manager. I'd resurrect him from, you know, get a strong man as a manager. But I don't know, man. Like, it's just one of those things where you look at that game and it's just like, you know, what can you do? Because, well, that's just how they are.
Let's talk about the other team. Tell me, what did you make of Chelsea? Like, we've heard a lot of this Cole Palmer kid all season. I think we can't be deluded and say that he's not a good player. He's clearly a good player. But what did you make of him, having watched, I guess, now two games against him as a United fan?
Yeah, I mean, like, Cole Palmer, he's one of those players where, like, growing up in that City Academy, you always, like, you've heard about him. Like, you heard, oh, you know, this young player. But seeing him actually play this whole season now, and I know people are going to bring up the penalties, and I get it to an extent, but you have to score them. Like, you don't, like, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. But aside from that, his general play is actually really, I feel he links up well with anyone in that attack well. He links that attack well together. And even, I think my favorite thing about him is very underrated, but his dribbling, like, into the attacking spaces, whether it be into the box or winning fouls for the team or just in around the box, his dribbling and just decision-making there is beautiful. It's great to see. I remember the FA Cup game where that back heel he played to, was it Maduke or whatever. It's his general play in the box, I think, is really beautiful. But the rest of that Chelsea team, there's some questions that need to be asked because that midfield was horrendous. People are going to post Enzo's green sofa score because they don't watch the game. But up until that 100th minute assist, he was bad, like, anonymous. Very bad.
Anonymous. I don't remember anything Enzo did yesterday.
Him and Moy Moy Caicedo. Oh, like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's had a bad season.
He was the worst midfielder on the pitch. Like, it with with the way Casemiro played yesterday, for Caicedo to outdouche him, that was disgusting.
I will say this though, for Noni Madueke and Connie Chukwuemeka, it's time to learn pidgin because you're not gonna play for England at all. That's all I have to say about those two. It's time for you to learn Ngbati and go and play for the Super Eagles.
They're behind Anthony Gordon and
Jared Bowen.
Jared Bowen and the homie that even scored for Newcastle too.
Harvey Barnes.
Yeah, they're behind him too, bro. You guys are 24 playing with under 21s. Go, please, uncle.
Like, yeah, man, Gareth has told them what it is because their senior brother at Chelsea, Raheem Sterling. I don't know exactly what Raheem did wrong because he's had periods of this season where he was good enough to get an England call-up, and he has done well for Gareth Southgate in the past at several tournaments.
He's been best player.
No longer part of the setup. He's no longer part. So if you're a black and you play at Chelsea, Gareth Southgate is telling you that you've made a bad choice in your life. And he's right because we told you the same shit too, nigga.
How did you end up at Chelsea? That's what I want to know. Like, please, your life decisions are not correct.
I mean, so let's look at the future of Manchester United. I mean, we've definitely talked about that. I mean, tell me, for you, who do you think, like, player-wise? I think that Yeah, I need to do a complete blood clot in the summer, like just completely just cut a lot of people off. Like, who do you think should like leave as far as players, and like who do you want to see as a manager?
For a manager, it's one of those things where I'm not gonna pretend like I know every single, like I watch a lot of football. You know, I watch an ungodly amount also. Like, it's not gonna, I'm not gonna pretend like I know every manager, or I'm out here deep in the FB ref archives looking up manager things. Right now, the biggest name that excites me is Julian Nagelsmann, because I still believe he was treated unfairly at Bayern, and I've seen his work at Salzburg and Hoffenheim. I think he's a good manager. But like we said, if we're, let's get all the way crazy, man. Bring me McKenna. Do you see what Ipswich are doing? No, let's go all in. So honestly, that's my favorite is Nagelsmann. My dark horse shout is McKenna. But if we're talking about players leaving, first Casemiro, I'm sorry, bro. You did well, but Botafogo has a nice pay package for you. Please go enjoy it. Casemiro, McTominay, that whole midfield needs a shake up. And honestly, I'll go on record. I've defended Bruno a lot. Like, Bruno, I've defended you a lot, and I love you, bro, but it's time to hit the road. You're 29, almost 30. The way you play is just not – it's not conducive. And, yeah, bro, it's time. Hate to say it, Varane, as good as you are, we're not going to keep paying you this much money to play every other five games. I'm so sorry. Like, especially when you know you're relied on as a starter, he got to go. Anthony, I don't care. All this little renaissance is not tricking me, bro. You're garbage. We've seen you for what you are. I'm not. This man went 30 something games without a goal or assist for 100 million. Like, Shogbo, 100 million. I'm not doing this with him. So yeah, he got to go too. And honestly, We need a whole new defense. That's just the end all be all of it. We need to start from the defense and build up. Also, please stop saying Onana should be the midfield target we get. Like, when did this become the hot new trend? No, he's not as good as you people think. If we're gonna bring someone from that Everton midfield, is bring James Garner back.
I like Amadou Onana. I think like the problem is that like, spending 50 million plus on him seems excessive to me. I don't know why. Like, right. I think he's a good player. I don't know. And like,
it's not about the value, guys. I think you guys to even be discussing Onana is a huge error at all, because what you guys need, the issue you've had all season is the fact that you don't control games. To control games, you need to control the midfield.
Hello?
The first priority needs to be a midfielder that controls games. Onana doesn't control games. There's nobody at the club. It can't be Kobbie Mainoo. He's 18 years old.
Bro, like I see people online trying to bash him. I'm like, why there's a midfield with Casemiro and Bruno. Why are we attacking the 18-year-old? Yeah, people who've captained countries at the World Cup, at Euros, and you're looking to the 18-year-old? That's not okay.
Well, he is black, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
You ain't lying.
What do you mean he's 18? If he's black, that means he's 38. Fuck all that. You see how y'all be treating Rashford? I see that.
Oh
shit,
my god!
Please tell me. I'm glad that you're here. I know that you're the CEO of the Rashford fan club. Please talk to us about Rashford. Like, the floor is yours. I don't care what you want to. Just go ahead. The floor is yours.
I'm gonna start this by saying this started like people think this is just. This Man U's fans hate of Rashford just started. This man scored 30 goals and 11 assists last year, and people are like, nah, it's not enough. Are we like, what are we doing here? This man at 26, he's gonna be top 10 in goals. He's already top 5 in assists for Manchester United. I feel like, I'm sorry, that's earned you some grace. That's earned you a little bit of grace. So let's look at his past seasons. The, was it 2021, 2022 season where he would just decide to take the year off? That one, we can criticize him for that. Absolutely. Before that, this was the man that was putting up 20 and 11, like his Jokic, every season. This man scoring 20 goals, 11 assists every season. So that consistency talk, I'm not having it either. Does he go through periods where, of course, you know, he looks a little bit like, It looks disinterested. Yeah, but at the same time, what athlete doesn't? You're the team you grew up supporting. They're playing like some dickheads. Your biggest trophy in your career was a is the Europa League, which you contributed massively to, and you're just around there, and fans are blaming you. Sometimes, like, you've had to play around McTominay, Weghorst, half of Martial, and I love Martial. I really do love Martial, but when that's who's around you, you can't. There's only so much you can do. I don't know since when we got spoiled by, like, the likes of, like, Ronaldo and Messi scoring, like, 30, 40 goals a season in the league. But I'm seeing people call a winger scoring 17, 15 goals in the league. Oh, he's mid. He's trash. Who do you guys – who's this magical player you guys want to replace him with? And people will tell them, like, oh, Cava. Are we sure he's better than Rashford? I don't think so. The only two names I'm taking to replace Rashford is Vinicius and Mbappe. Are they coming? No. So shut up and eat your food. It's here. It's already here at home. So this whole agenda against him, and that's what it is. His agenda is so foolish. He called it out on his player tribune. If you're going to criticize me, criticize my play on the pitch. Please, let's just keep it at that. And then you have Gary Neville and Rio Ferdinand going on releasing statements here. They're saying, yeah, I think something's deeply wrong with him. You have the kid's number. You have his brother's number. You can drive down. Do you know how many videos a week do we see of Ferdinand at United's training ground? You can't go put your arm around the guy. After a while, it gets too much. And also, I don't know why people are lying like he's been bad this season. There was a period in time. I said this on United podcast a couple podcasts ago with Coach. There's a period in time when Rashford was injured and benched. And that was the period we went on like our 5-game goal drought where we did not score a single goal at all. Who was the front three for that? Garnacho, Hoyland, and Antony. You like those two, as good as two out of the three are, those two out of the three are still very young. Rashford is the glue that helps that front three stick, whether you like to believe or not. Again, does he have bad games? Absolutely. I'm not gonna be here and act like he's a perfect player. But the way people talk about him is ridiculous. And if we were to lose a talent like that, I promise you we would feel it instantly. I promise you.
From an external perspective, I don't think Rashford will actually ever achieve his full potential at Manchester United. I feel like you guys have wasted so much of his career. He's like the iconic figure of the worst era of Manchester United in my lifetime. Like, this guy has been there all this time, and all he has to show for it is a fucking Europa League trophy.
An FA Cup.
Like, I always troll Tosin in our group chat about how Rashford needs to come to Arsenal and have the winger whisper in his life, because you guys got 30 goals out of him last season. That lets me know that Mikel Arteta can get 45 out of that little nigga. I promise you. And you niggas know that shit, but that's not what we're here to talk about. I'm just talking shit because I'm an Arsenal fan, so... But I feel as if the club has let him down badly.
Oh, absolutely.
I've said this to Tommy before, and I'll say this again on wax. I hope we don't make the same mistake that we did with Rashford with Kobbie Mainoo. I really hope we don't do that. I hope that we surround Kobbie with talent.
That's the one we are coming from. That's the one we are really coming for.
Listen, there's a bunch of a group chat of Arsenal fans. They're like, this Kobbie Mainoo kid is good. Back up, please leave.
I've said this.
He looks tasty. He looks like good Banku.
I was gonna tweet this yesterday, but I'll say it here. I think the problem with United is that we surround too much talent with crap. We need less Ander Herreras, less Matic's. Let's Scott McTominay's around the Pogba's. That's what we need. Less of that. Again, like I was saying this, Tommy, before we started, that I was watching a video of Roy Keane talking about Cristiano when he first debuted. He was just Roy Keane was just like, I don't care. Like his debut, Roy Keane was like, he's a kid. He's like, I've seen gigs. I've seen Lee Sharp. Like, temper your expectations. Like, I don't care. Like, and the problem is now with United, we look to these 18, 19-year-olds to be a savior of the club, but that's not how it should be at all. Like, these kids should be coming into these things to complement, not take over. The fact that Garnacho has played 30 games is absurd in a row.
30 games in a row is, that's not, like, this, I literally said that's not okay. You at 19, Garnacho is still 19. You know how crazy that is? 30 games in a row at 19.
like Dean said, that is some real Pedri Gavi behavior. Some real Lamine Yamal, some real just like we gotta get some child labor laws in this junk. Like,
yeah, man. So like what's CPS doing? Please don't step in.
You got it. What's the UK version of child protective services? Can we please intervene here? Because
you got Mary Poppins. That's the UK version. She's about to come lock the doors to training. So Kobe, like, and it's so crazy because remember, I think Garnacho's brother tweeted that FA Cup match against Liverpool.
Yeah, his hamstring.
He played 120 minutes.
Yeah. And then flew to America.
Yeah, well, you know, not every teenager in football can be Bukayo Saka. You know, like, I just want to put that among the pigeons because...
I mean, we also got to remember... We got to remember what Bukayo Saka is. He's not a teenager. He's a Yoruba boy. So he came out of the womb.
You know, like, he probably has twins that we don't know about. But, you know, yeah.
He came out the womb with Giddy. Like...
I mean, his name is Bukayo. Temi Dayo. Like, the boy came up with three strong names. That boy's different. Okay.
So the next game this weekend is against Liverpool.
Oh,
that's a big game, regardless of what's going on at United or what's going on at Liverpool. When we were at the halftime point of the game against Chelsea, I thought to myself, maybe United is going to be able to parlay this momentum into a good performance against Liverpool, because obviously I have a vested interest as an Arsenal fan in you guys playing well this weekend to get something out of that game. But you guys have watched this team way more than I have all season. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, Tommy, take the floor.
there's a real Jackal and Hyde spirit in this team. I wouldn't say Jackal and Hyde. It's chaos. So you don't know what you're really going to get, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. Varane's hurt. Leach is hurt. Luke Shaw's hurt. And we still have to start Casemiro. Don't go into this game with any hope. No. It's going to be – you see how that FA Cup game was like 4-3? Don't expect another 4 from us. It's not happening. But I'm gonna put my United hat on and say, honestly, we can steal a 2-2-1-1 win. Or I said win, draw.
Standard, Steve Wogota. Only 1-1. Yeah, well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right for my sake. Obviously, my team has business to handle on their end. But I think a derby is always going to be a derby.
Yeah.
We're always going to get surprised. You just never know what's going to happen. And Liverpool, of all the teams that happen to be good in the Premier League these days, they're the ones that actually give you a chance.
Yeah.
They've been winning all these games via German juju. I don't really know how that shit works, but...
That's very true. Their defense have major laps too. It's just they have Alisson back there, and that guy is man.
And he hasn't even been around for months. He's been hurt for a little bit.
Oh yeah,
And even so, somehow understand it. It's jazz, man. It's jazz.
Tweet about Alisson of all time is, "We let this man get away with a girl's name. We never questioned it."
Yes, bro. That's very like we just casually call this nigga Allison AJ. Is it AJ and Allison or Ali and AJ?
Yeah, his name is Allison Becker, but we call him Allison, and he gets away with it.
That's
but
crazy.
I'm not even gonna give my predictions on Sunday for United Liverpool. I will be watching that game and reading Psalm 5.
You'll be watching that game from behind the couch.
That's a game you can't go to a bar and watch. You got to watch that at home.
I'm actually have to go to a bar to watch that game.
No, as soon as that's one of those games where, like, after if a couple things happen, yeah, I'm just turning you off. I'll bring out Football Manager and beat Liverpool in there myself.
Yeah, listen, we got to wrap it up though, man, because we could talk about this nonsensical team for a very long time. You guys have any final words you want to add about United, about anything else, Chelsea?
Take it from a fan of a team that just completed a rebuild in very, very quick time. It will probably get worse before it gets better, but I think you guys are on the right track, because you can't really fix things on the field until you fix things off the field. And, you know, a lot of really interesting names, you know, Omar Barada, Jason Wilcox, Dave Brailsford, Ineos. Things are going to get better. Optimism should be the, you know, and I mean, I hate saying this on United Pod because I wish you guys nothing but the worst, but if I'm a United fan, the season is a write-off. Okay, fine. We'll watch the games because that's what we do. We don't have a choice. We're addicted to this shit. But start looking forward to the summer. Just write off the season.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm going to echo the same sentiments. It's one of those things where, like, the people we're hiring, it's not like we had people in those positions who were doing bad there, so we just fired them. We didn't have those positions at all.
No structure.
So, like, there was no one there. So, again, we're slowly building with the Ineos and all that. I was skeptical at first when I heard his name, but he looks to be making the right decision, so I'm hopeful. So I'm hopeful, and I'll take that. And also, Baldy got to go. That's just it. Baldy got to go.
I'll leave you guys with some positivity. Go listen to Key and Kenny Beats' album, 7-7. There's a track, number 7, called It Gets Better. Go listen to that. You'll be all right. And with that, we're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Ha! Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Plantain, plantain.